Okay, good evening, everyone. It's the joy is muted because such a challenging, difficult, painful time that we're all going through, and so it's kind of difficult to express. But there are people, there are a lot of familiar faces in the room, but much more than that, there are people here who are dear friends from a long time ago, from not so long ago, people who have learned together over years and developed really deep relationships through Torah. So it's like very special and meaningful and poignant for me to have those reunions. And, you know, perhaps at another time we'll be able to express it more happily. But at least you should know it's meaningful to me, and I appreciate the people who came to learn together again. It's special to me. I also thank the Aguda for sending a representative. It was supposed to be Rav Brodny, but this is who they ended up sending. We appreciate that. It's chashuv for us as well. You know, as we go through a tzar like this, such a tragic, shocking... It's still ongoing. It's not over. It's still shocking. It's still tragic. And it still continues. So we start to tap into kochos we didn't know we had. We start to dive in at a different level. We start to sleep less. We eat differently. We learn more intensely. We learn more. We have kabbalos. We take on certain avodos that we didn't have beforehand. And it's important to distinguish between two types of things that we take on during this time. This is a shmuz that we could have another time also about the difference between Aseres Yemei Teshuva and the entirety of Elul. But a person takes on avodos sometimes in response to a tragedy because that's what the hour calls for, because that's what's necessary right now. We say three kapit lach tilim after Ma'ariv. That probably won't, and on one level it should. We should say all of tilim all the time, but it's not supposed to continue after we find a way out of this tzara. That's something that's a response. It's a tefillah that's necessary now. It's a reaction, a temporary one, albeit a powerful one. But there are other things that we've been doing, that we've been taking on, that need to stick, that need to stay after the tzara has subsided. It should happen soon. That have to stay with us for a lifetime afterwards. But it's important already to be thinking about the distinction between those two things. Because the second that it starts to dissipate, the second the feeling of the shock and the sheer, the jolt that we got from the tragedy as it occurred, as that starts to wane, that starts to a little bit dissolve, so we lose track of everything. You have to cheshbon this in advance. You have to be preemptive about this. You have to take note of what you've been doing differently and what's going to stick and how it's going to stick. They say a story of Pincus quoted in one of his drashas that one time Rav Shlomo Zalman, the point of the context of the meeting is not important for us right now, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a meeting with a young man who had suffered a very serious tragedy. And in the middle of the meeting, Rav Shlomo Zalman grabbed hold of the guy's hand. He just grabbed his arm. And the guy was a little, you know, taken aback, shocked. He said, you know, he saw Rav Shlomo Zalman grab his hand. He didn't know why. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said to him, "Do you feel my hand?" So the guy said, "Yeah, I feel your hand. You just grabbed me." So he said, "Yeah, on the same hand that I'm grabbing, you're wearing a watch on your wrist. Do you feel the watch?" So he said, "No, I don't feel the watch." So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "The reason is because I grabbed you out of the blue. I surprised you, I shocked you, I touched you, and you didn't have it for so long, you didn't have a chance to adjust yet. The watch has been on you for so long that you've been misragil bekach. It's become rote. It's just something that's part of your body. It's attached. You don't feel the presence of the watch on your hand. A tragedy is a jolt. It's a shock to our system. We can't let it become a watch. It can't become something that we live with, that we go on, and we move out of this, and it's just there. We have to feel the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here it was a smack, but it's a smack that's shiftecho meshantecho hema yinachamuni. It's supposed to teach us something that's supposed to lead to something good, to guide us towards a better, more light, more bright future. But we have to feel the hand. It can't turn into something that we ignore, that becomes a regular life. Part of the way of accomplishing that is these avodos have to stick. We have to think carefully about what we're doing and what can last of those things we're doing. So perhaps one perspective on one area, one realm, which I think all of us in this room can definitely relate to, given the crowd that we're speaking to, people who join together to learn, again, like I know personally over the years, but even people I don't know who I saw tonight in a bustling base medrash with a Kol Torah that are here nightly, weekly, people that I can appreciate the following perspective, I think it's something we can take with us going forward. Shlomo HaMelech says, Af my chachma, my wisdom, stood for me. It lasted for me. So Chazal Darshan, again, the Rambam has a different approach to this, but we're ignoring that for now. But Chazal Darshan in Midrashim, they understand this pasuk to be interpreted on a different level. They say, Af chachmasi amdali, Torah shalamarati ba'af, hi she'amdali. Chazal say that Torah, Talmud Torah which I engaged in, Torah which I learned, Bishas Charon Af. Charon Af means a time of anger, a time when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is expressing anger that results in tsaros, that results in tragedies. When a person is in a place of adyav or zam, he's hiding in the Beis Medrash. Torah shalamadati ba'af. If I learned the Torah in a moment of despair, of anger from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman al-Tzlan, of those ace tsaros liyakov, that's the Torah that's amdalila netzach. That's the Torah that lasts by me. That's the Torah that I'm going to retain for all eternity. And on a certain level, it's obviously a segula. There's certainly a mysterious nefesh that a person has. When there's an esar, it's harder to learn. The Kotzker Rebbe says that the Mishnah tells us, Al tomer kishefna eshne. Don't say that when I have more free time, that's when I'll learn. When I'm not so tired, when I'm so busy, that's when I'll take time to learn. Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give you such an easy time getting out of the tirdos that you have. So Al tomer kishefna eshne. Don't say that when I clear up with all my responsibilities, then I'll learn. You got to learn even when you're tired. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, people usually interpret it as, you know, don't push it off because it may never come a time when you have the opportunity to learn better than it is now. The Kotzker says, no. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Al tomar kesha efna eshne. Don't say that. When I'm less tired, I'll learn, because maybe this is when Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to learn. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your Torah dafka when it's difficult, dafka when it's an ace tsar, dafka when it's a charon af, dafka when it's licheshe. It's not yet lichesha efne. It's still tirdos. It's still difficult. There's a tragedy that's going on that's distracting you. That's the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for you. There's a mysterious nefesh. There's a little bit of going above and beyond when a person learns in that way. And you can understand it as a skula. It's something which works on a level we can't appreciate fully. It's something that's almost nistar, beyond us, elevated from our understanding, that the Torah we learn in such a time, it's magical. It's a zchus that we can't relate to, that Torah is going to last for us. But libi omerli, with many skulas, not all, but many skulas, libi omerli, there's something we're supposed to understand about the skula. There's something, you can call it whatever language you want to call it, psychological, emotional, you know, halachic. There's something there that's supposed to be nitpas, that we're supposed to be able to grab onto, that we can understand about the skula and learn from the skula that we're being told here. Torah shalamadati bi'af, hisha amdoli. So, you know, there's Ramban. The Ramban says in two places that are important, we're combining them. The Ramban notes that there's a mitzvah d'araisa, there's a positive commandment from the Torah that a person has to remember Har Sinai. Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai. A person has to remember Matan Torah. But the Ramban spells out in those places that the idea is not just to remember the content of Torah, the words of Torah, the halachos, the hashkafos, the agadata. That's obvious. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's an additional mitzvah, says the Ramban, of the zechira, of the commemoration, not of the content, but of the context of Har Sinai, of the kolos ubrakim, v'odatam levanecha levnei benecha, raki sham lecha shmonashecha me'od, pentishkach ezedvaram asher ra'u einecha, the vision that you saw, the sounds that you heard, and the sounds that you saw, and the visions that you heard, those are the things that you're supposed to remember from Har Sinai. That's a mitzvah de'araisa. The Ramban says this, and one of the places is in the mitzvah esei sheshachach harav limnos, meaning he accuses the Rambam of leaving this mitzvah out from his count of 613, he says this is certainly a mitzvah d'araisa, and the Rambam should definitely have included it. If you go through the Sefer Mitzvah, so you won't find this mitzvah. The Rambam certainly does not count it in the 613. So l'chaira, the Ramban is correct. It's left out, and maybe it's akasha. Maybe there are tirutzim, maybe it's akasha. But then if you open up the Igeres Teiman, the Igeres Teiman is something we find ourselves, we keep coming back to, literally every day for the last 2 weeks. It's a timely and timeless essay that the Rambam wrote in response to a letter from the community in Teiman who was suffering a shmad, a persecution, a religious persecution by the Yishma'elim who ruled the community they were in. So in the context of giving them chizuk, encouraging them in Yanei Emunah, he spends time really elaborating on the concept of Har Sinai, Maimon Har Sinai, the belief in Matan Torah, Mina Shamayim, all of those aspects. And in that context, he uses words that are absolutely clear. It's not debatable. It's unequivocal. He says, Chayiv, there's a mitzvah, Lizkor Maimon Har Sinai. He says it black on white in his Igeres Teiman. There's a mitzvah, Mina Torah, an obligation for every Jew. Rakisha melechosh, mornashcha me'od, pentishkach ha'dvar mesher ro'yinecha, vo'odatam levanecha, ulevnei vanecha, to remember the chavaya, the experience of Matan Torah, the kolos and the brachim, the maros, everything we saw, everything we heard, to remember it, to internalize it, and to pass it along to the next generation, really exactly what the Ramban tells us is a mitzvah, and accuses the Rambam of leaving out. So what's the pshat? How did the Rambam leave it out of the Sefer Mitzvos? But he has the mitzvah, so why isn't it counted? How does he agree with the Ramban that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of remembering Har Sinai, the experience, the context of Har Sinai, and yet that mitzvah doesn't appear in the Sefer Mitzvahs? It only appears in this letter that he wrote to the Yemenite Jews in 1160, whatever. That's the only place the Ramban's going to mention it. Why isn't it in the Sefer Mitzvahs? So the pshat is, l'chor, this is the Derech HaMelech. You can quote different Achron Musay, but l'chor, this is the Derech HaMelech. The pshat is obvious. The pshat is that the Rambam assumes there's a vada mitzvah of remembering Har Sinai, remembering the context, the scene, the fear, the brilliance, the beauty of Har Sinai. Avada, there's a mitzvah. But that mitzvah is contained within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What for the Ramban is a separate mitzvah, for the Rambam is included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, meaning the definition of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah, is to learn Torah in such a way that it's kederech nisinasa b'sinai. That you learn it in such a way that you appreciate and you internalize and you reflect on what we saw, what we visualized, what we heard by Har Sinai. Every time you pick up a Gemara, every time you look at a Chumash Rashi, every time you learn Ramban al Torah, you should feel kol subrakim. You should feel the mare, you should feel the kol shofar holich v'chazek. You should feel the unbelievable terror and also beauty of Har Sinai within the Talmud Torah. The Rambam doesn't count it because it's already there. He doesn't have to count a separate mitzvah because it's part and parcel. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah, includes that a person has to remember the context, the experience of Har Sinai as well. You see this in many places, but in particular the Gemara in Brachos, I heard some of the Chevra here was learning Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that a Balkari is not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah. You know, Machlokes Tanaim in terms of how to say this, but the Balkari is not allowed to engage in Talmud Torah. The reason being, the Gemara says, because Talmud Torah needs, quote, be'ema b'resus u'vizeya. Talmud Torah needs to be learned in such a way that there's ema, resus, and zeya, which translated loosely means fear, fear, and fear. Three types of fear, I don't know. You have to tremble, you have to be fearful, you have to be in a place of Kovid Rosh, of seriousness. It can't be lightheaded, it can't be frivolous. Talmud Torah is supposed to be an act of Ema, Reses, and Zeya, a Yiras HaKavod, that a person is supposed to approach Talmud Torah with. How do we know that? Because, it's clear in the Gemara, because that's how it was at Har Sinai. By Har Sinai, there was a trembling. Vayanuhu, right? They stood far away. Vayanuhu, they shook. They were trembling. It was frightful. It was scary. It was awesome. It was awesome to visualize such a thing, to witness such a matan Torah. That's how you have to learn Torah every time you engage with Baruch Hashem. Is that unbelievable? But the truth is, it makes sense. Because what Talmud Torah is Dvar Hashem. It's the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something you could just shoot svaras about. It's not something you can make jokes about. It's not something that could be entertaining. You're engaging with Dvar Hashem every time you open a Gemara, every time you open a Shulchan Aruch. Every time you're Ma'avir Sedra, you're looking at Dvar Hashem, Ratzon Hashem, you're meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself through Talmud Torah. And so obviously there has to be a Yiras HaKavod. Obviously it has to be with Ema, with Restus, with Zeya, because that's the experience of Talmud Torah, that's Matan Torah, that's Maimon Har Sinai every day, every time we open our Gemara, every time we open every Sefer. You open the Hakdamos, the introductions of the Rishonim, you think about in particular the Ramban and his introduction to his Perush on the Torah, the way that he writes, that you can feel him shaking. He's scared. He says, Be'ema b'restus v'zeya. He references his Gemara. He feels scared to put pen to paper. Me, to say something in Torah, me, little me, Ramban, to try to say a svara, to try to say a chiddush, that someone should learn my words, it's frightening to engage in Talmud Torah. We have to, and we love it, but there's a yiras hakavod. There's a fear, there's an awe, there's a chashivos, there's a significance to the Torah, there's a karach that we're supposed to tap into that was expressed by Maimon Har Sinai, but has a perpetual kiyum in every instance of Talmud Torah for the rest of history. I remember Shechter likes to tell a story that when the boys, that's what he calls grown men. So when the boys were applying to the kolos, they would write a shtikl Torah to try to, you know, part of the admissions process. So there's one time that someone wrote a shtikl Torah. He quotes Rabbi Reese about this, I believe. Someone wrote a shtikl Torah, a whole ganze shtikl. It's in Hebrew, so the translation's not going to be perfect. A whole shtikl Torah. And when Rabbi Reese met with Rav Schechter, Rabbi Reese said, this guy can't be in the kolos. Can't be in the kolos. So they said, you know, they're trying to figure out why not. They both had the same conclusion. But Rabbi Reese pointed to a line. If it's not Rabbi Reese, it's someone else, but I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Reese. He pointed to a line where this boy, he wrote a whole question. He wrote a whole answer, and then he wanted to disprove his answer. So he wrote in Hebrew, I'm going to say it in English, but he wrote, here is a possible answer, yada, 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 a whole arichas. And then he said, but l'chora, there's a kasha from here, there's a question from here, and the jig is up. game over. I can't answer the question. It's the end of the game. And Rabbi Reis pointed out to Rav Shetler, Torah is not a game. If a person could write a shtickle Torah and try to submit it to become part of a Talmud Torah endeavor, to be paid full time to sit in the base measures, and he can call Torah a game, he can say the jig is up about Akash and Teretz, where's the Ema? Where's the Reses? Where's the Zeya? He's not engaging with Dvar Hashem. He's engaging with himself, with his own intellect. He's having a good time. Torah is his plaything. David Melech was punished for saying that. Torah is his plaything. It's his plaything, so then it's not serious enough. It's too lax. It's too lax. It's too relaxed. It's not Be'ema Reses Zeya. It's not the Divrei Torah, Kederach Nisinasan B'Sinai. We may have that perspective. We may believe in the Chashivas of Torah. We may believe that it's the Gilui of Dvar Hashem. We may feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're learning. But as time goes on, the way we stay committed to Talmud Torah is not through that avenue. The way we stay committed to Talmud Torah, I go to this shir because it's more entertaining. I go to that drasha because the rabbi says a better opening joke or says a shorter drasha, and I can appreciate that more. I keep up with Daf Yomi because if I fall behind, I'm going to feel like a shegetz. So once I'm committed, I'm committed. Now these are all good things. That's a mechayiv. But the reason I'm learning at that point, the way I'm engaging with Dvar Hashem, is not out of that reses and zeya, that fear, that trembling, that awe of the Dvar Hashem. It's because it's kishmak. Or it's because I don't want to fall behind. Or it's because I just know it's something I have to do. Comes an Eis Tzara. Comes a Shas Charon Af. Comes a war, a milchama, a travesty, a holocaust. And all of a sudden we're running to the Beis Medrash. Not only because we have no other place to go, no respite, there's just nothing else seems important, but because we know the Torah makes a difference. We know it's Dvar Hashem. We know it's a zechus for ourselves, for the entire nation, for the people who are already killed, for the people who are trying to keep alive, for the hostages. We know how heavy, how weighty the Talmud Torah is, so we run to the Beis Medrash. B'shas Charon Af, we learn with a Yiras HaKavod. We learn seriously. We learn intently. I'm not talking about quantitatively, more time, less built to Torah. Qualitatively differently. We learn with a Yiras HaKavod. We learn Be'ema B'Resu V'Zei. We learn with an awareness, a cognizance of the Nefesh HaChaim Shar Dalid, the impact the Torah is having on all the Olamos, from ours all the way up to the top, Yaakov, Chevel, Nachalah. So we have all of that, not on the back of our mind, on the front of our minds. It's like we're sitting at the foot of our Sinai every time we learn, B'Shas Charon Af. So says Shlomo HaMelech, Af Chachmasi Amdali, Torah Shelamarti Ba'af, Hisha Amdali. The Torah that I learned during a persecution, a tragedy, a calamity, some sad Eis Tzara, that Torah is going to last me forever. Is it a skula? Yes, it's a skula. We want to know the pshat in the skula? It's not that there's some skula because this time Torah magically works. It's because during a time like this, b'shas af, b'shas charon af, we're finally learning Torah. This is the way Torah is supposed to be learned. With a yiras hakavod, with a seriousness, with a heavy heart, with a trepidation to say the wrong thing, a hope to say the right thing, a realization of how powerful every word you're learning and every word you're saying and every word you're teaching is, that's Talmud Torah. That's a Talmud Torah that's Raki Shamar Lecha. That's a Talmud Torah of Hodat Mu'venecha L'Vnei V'necha. That's a Zechiris Maimar Sinai. That's the essence of Talmud Torah, to learn in such a way that you're engaging with Dvar Hashem seriously, with the utmost respect. A Yiras HaKavod Be'ema B'Resu V'Zeya. That we can accomplish in a Shas Charon Af, that's the Torah that's going to last for us, because that's the most genuine form of Talmud Torah that we engage with. We can't be this serious forever. You can't feel this tense or intense for the rest of your life. But something we can take with us. That can't all turn into the watch on our wrist. Some of the experience of Talmud Torah that's shifted for us qualitatively, not quantitatively, qualitatively, some of that shift in our perspective, in our approach to Talmud Torah, has to stay with us. Af chachmasi amdali. Torah shalomadati bi'af hi sha'amdali. We need to replicate this. We need this to persist. We need to push ourselves to learn in such a way to realize how heavy, how lofty, how special, how chashiv every word of Torah is, to engage in it with an ema and a reses of Isaiah. The shas af is the inspiration, and we don't want any more of those inspirations. We're done with that. We don't want more tzaros. But if we want it to be omed lanu, perhaps we have to be omed la as well. Perhaps we have to make that ema, that reses, that zeya stick a little bit. And if we do our part, if we learn in such a way that we're always learning with that yiras hakavod, with the significance, the chashivas of Torah on our hearts and our minds, then b'siyat d'shmaya, we shouldn't have to have another tzara. We don't need another charon af. We don't need a moment of Eis Tzar Yaakov to teach us to learn that way. That will be our Talmud Torah. That's an avodah that we can work on going forward that can hopefully prevent more tzaras and that can hopefully deepen and make our Talmud Torah more rich and more meaningful. And b'siyat d'shmaya, it should lead to tremendous hatzlacha for all of us in all of the inyanim, Talmud Torah, safety, hatzlacha in the war, and b'siyat d'shmaya, b'yaskal tzedek, meher v'yemenu, amen.